Father, I pray this morning for every individual here this morning who has a burden or a problem or a situation they're dealing with, Lord, that they would know that you're here. There's nothing too hard for you. There's nothing that you can't do. And we come this morning lifting up these burdens, lifting up these situations in our lives that really seem beyond us, or maybe they're more than we can handle. We pray in the name of Jesus that we would really, truly, as the Bible says, cast all of our care upon you, to let you handle these things because you care about us. You want us to do that. Jesus said, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Lord, may we really learn there's no other place to find true rest except in you. And so we come this morning by faith. We know that you're here in this place, and we just give that person or this situation or that relationship into your mighty hands, the circumstances, the sadness or the broken heart or the problem we're experiencing. And we ask you to give us wisdom. We need that wisdom. We need guidance. We need grace to be able to stand and to walk and to follow you no matter what. And I just pray that you would just pour out your spirit upon us. We continue to lift up these children that have accepted you this week. May you help them, Lord. They need your help. Whether we're aware of that or conscious of that, we need you to guide and direct them and oversee them and overrule them. We pray as parents you would guide us, helping us to make right decisions, helping us to hear from you, helping us to respond to what you're saying to us, so that we can truly encourage our children to follow you and to love you and to be a part of what you're doing. Thank you again for your divine grace. In Jesus' name we pray. All God's people said, amen. You may be seated. Let me again welcome you this morning. Let me just mention that if you're new to our fellowship or visiting this morning, we are in the book of 2 Corinthians. If you need a Bible and don't have one, if you'll hold your hand up until the usher can get you one. And we'll be in 2 Corinthians chapter 6 this morning, starting chapter 6. We finished chapter 5 last. What is a grace? Grace is God working in me, things that I can't do. Grace is God giving me power and strength. I've been saved for 48 years. I've been following Jesus for 48 years. You know why I'm following Jesus for 48 years? The grace of God. The grace of God. It's only by the grace of God. It's only by the grace of God that we're following Christ. It's only by the grace of God that we're able to come here this morning and gather here and worship the Lord. It's by the grace of God. Everything that we do as a Christian, every profitable spiritual growth, every step we take is by the grace of God. Who are we? We're nobodies. We're just individuals. We're just the, as Paul says, we're just ambassadors. We're just the vessel. The Bible says God's put this treasure in earthen vessels. That's us. So that the excellency of the power, this amazing work that God's doing through us, is not of us, it's God. God gets the glory for it. In the study of Gideon, you know, which the ladies are going to do, which we're trying to preempt the ladies before they get to the study. We're trying to cover that. No, just kidding. But in Judges, we started Gideon. And what we saw was, it was because Gideon saw himself as a nobody. Gideon said to God, who am I? I'm the least of the families. I'm the least in my father's house. Well, God is saying, that's the kind of guy I can use. Because God's able to pour grace out. God's able to work in the life of Gideon. And when God works through Gideon, everybody knows this is not Gideon. There's no way that Gideon and 300 guys can defeat an army of 125,000 Midianites. There's no way. No way possible. Or another way to say that, we see David going against Goliath and the Philistines. There's no way possible. David even mentioned before he went to fight with Goliath, look, I've killed a lion and the bear. There's no way a young boy, a little boy, could kill a lion and a bear. God had to do it. It was the grace of God. It was God's power working through this individual. All I'm saying is that we have to understand the purpose of grace. What is God's purpose of grace? Ephesians chapter 4, verses 14 through 16, that we should no longer be children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the slight or trickery of men in cunning craftiness, in deceitful plotting. But speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things unto him who is the head, even Christ. Another way to say that is God saved me in order to make me like Jesus. Very simply. And when we think about that, I've always believed that God designed marriage to make us like Jesus. As iron sharpens iron, God uses marriage to make me like Christ. It's one of the most intense furnaces, if you will, of marriage and relationships and interactions. God designed that. It's not just to get married. God's goal in my life is to make me like Christ. So my point is, God didn't just save the Corinthians just so they could be saved and go into heaven. God saved these individuals to transform their life and to grow them and to mature them. As they grow and mature, they become more and more and more like Christ as they mature. So Paul is in effect saying, put away childish things. Stop acting the way you're acting. Grow up. And it gets back to this grace of God. Why did God extend grace in the first place? God didn't just save me so that I will be saved and go into heaven. You know, you go back to Jeremiah 49 or 39. I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord. God's got a plan for your life. Let me just challenge you. Do you know that God has a plan for your life? And let me say it like this. God, the ultimate plan God has for you as a believer and me as a believer is to make you and me like Christ. That's God's goal. He's our example. He's the Father. We are disciples. What is a disciple? A disciple is one who follows another because they want to become like that. That's God's plan. It says that again in Romans chapter 8, verses 28 through 30. Look what it says. Great passage. We know that all things work together for good to those who love God and those who are called according to his purpose. Then it goes on to say, for whom he foreknew, meaning God, before you were saved, God knew you'd be saved. He also predestined you for what? To be conformed to the image of his son. That's God's plan. That you might be, that we might be, that he might be, rather, excuse me, the firstborn among many brethren. Now, of course, we're not Christ, obviously. But God wants me to be like Jesus. We talk about in Galatians, the fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit means as we grow and we begin to mature, we begin to be filled with God's love, God's grace, patience, kindness, gentleness, self-control, all these fruits. It's a result of being transformed, as the Bible says, from one degree of glory to another. We are being transformed. The Bible says, he that began a good work in us will perfect that work. The Bible says that he's the potter. We're just the clay. It's important for the clay to be on the wheel of the potter and to be soft. As long as you're soft and on the wheel, God can mold and shape you. But as soon as hardness sets in, as soon as you jump off the wheel, then you become stiff and hard. And in effect, the Corinthians had become stiff and hard. So when Paul makes the statement, do not receive the grace of God in vain, please understand what he's saying. He's saying you receive the grace of God in order not only to be saved, but to grow and to become like Jesus and let your light shine and develop as a believer into a strong believer. Into a Christian who's mature and growing and seeking out the Lord and passionate about Christ and wanting Christ above everything else. And God's designed life itself. And that's why it says all things work together for good. Why does it say that? Well, it says that because the previous verse says this. The Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings that cannot be uttered. So as the Holy Spirit's interceding for me, all things work together for good on my behalf. Why? I love the Lord and I'm called according to his purpose. Why? Because God has predestined me to be conformed to be like Jesus. Very simply. And so as the Spirit intercedes for us, whether it's trials or difficulties, all things are working together for my good. Why? Because God's got a plan for my life. And his plan for my life and yours is to make you like Christ. Please understand that. Now, he has different ways of doing that. Different jobs, different callings, different gifts, different abilities. We're not clones. We're individuals. We have personalities. We have different gifts and abilities and likes and dislikes. We have different jobs and neighborhoods and families, all these things. We're not talking about uniformity, but we're talking about unity. We're all a part of Christ. God's goal for every Christian is to make them like Jesus. And we have to always keep that in mind. What is God doing in this situation or this heartache or this difficult? He's making me like Christ. And it gets back to, well, how would Christ respond? What does the Bible say about Jesus? The Bible says he was tempted in all points like we are, yet with no sin. The Bible says that Jesus suffered for us, leaving us an example that we should follow his steps. So we study Christ. We look at his life. How did he suffer? What did he go through? How did he deal with people? I want to be like that. I'm a disciple. I'm a follower of Jesus. I put my eyes on him. I look at him. I study him. I think about what he said, how he said it, when he said it, to who he said it to, how he interacted with people. And ultimately, we want to be like that. We're called to be like that. The reason we're studying the Bible is we believe God's primary way of maturing us is through Scripture. As we study the Bible, we begin to realize, you know something? Have I received the grace of God in vain? I've been a Christian 5 years, 10 years, that I'm really not growing much. I'm stunted. Am I satisfied with just being, coming to church from time to time? Am I satisfied with just that? Or do I want to press on? Paul talked about this in Philippians. He mentioned the fact that all the things that he used to count as gain, he called them loss. I count everything but loss so that I can win Christ. He said, basically, I'm pursuing Christ. Not as though I'd already reached that goal, but I follow after. I'm pursuing Christ. I'm after him. My eyes are on Christ. My passion is for Jesus. I want to be like him. I want to understand him. I want to know him. I want to study him. I want to be, Lord, make me like Jesus. That's what he's saying. And so when he talks about this whole verse, the latter part of verse 1, where he talks about receiving the grace of God, it means in vain. He means you guys have received salvation. You've received Christ. You've experienced the grace of God. But what is God's purpose for saving me? It's to make me like Christ. It's to mature me and grow me. Another way to say that is this. Why didn't God just save you and boop, we're going to heaven? Can you imagine what that weird that would be? You know, people come, you know, we have maybe an altar call or maybe last week, you know, the kids prayed to receive the Lord and boop, they're gone. They just disappear. You know, and then his parents are going, please don't accept Christ because you'll be gone, you know. I mean, God could have easily done anything he wanted to. But my point is he's left us here. You see, coming to Christ is just the beginning on this amazing journey. And the journey is to know him. How do we know him? How do we become like him? Very simply, by the grace of God. God infusing his life into my life. The grace of God enables me to do that. So in other words, God's grace not only saves us, but God's grace enables me to grow. You see, when Paul says, don't receive the grace of God in vain. Yes, receive the grace of God, but keep growing. Salvation is just the beginning. You're babes in Christ. Let's grow. Let's mature. Let's progress. Let's start, you know, feasting on Christ and studying his word and fellowshipping with the saints and being a part of the kingdom of God and letting the Lord work in our lives. But oftentimes a person gets stunted. And the Corinthian church was stunted. And Paul, that's why Paul in a way is rebuking them. Look at what he says in verse 1. We then, as workers together with him, plead with you. I'm not just asking you. I'm not just talking about something. I'm not just getting you, here's a Bible study. I'm not talking about a Bible study. I'm pleading with you. With God. I, along with God, are pleading and begging you, please don't come into the kingdom and just sit there and never grow. Let the grace of God just continue to guide you and direct you. Stay pliable. Stay flexible. Stay humble. That's so important that we stay humble. I want to also point this out. The Bible clearly says that we're not under the law, but under grace. Let me just read this verse. Romans 6:14 says, sin shall not have dominion over us. Why doesn't sin have dominion over me any longer? I'm not under God's law. I'm not under the Old Testament covenant. The Old Testament covenant never provided grace. It just told me what not to do. And I did it. You know, I'm guilty. But I'm under grace. This new covenant that God's established in Christ and through Christ is a covenant of grace. In other words, here's what it means. It means that God saves individual vessels and all the grace is available that he gives to me and pours in my life for me to grow and develop. God gives me grace. That's why I said before, I've been saved for 47 years. Did I say 47, 48? I forgot what I said. I lose track. And I've only followed Jesus for those years because of the grace of God. You and I can't brag or boast or say, wow, look at me. Look how spiritual I am. We are, as Paul said earlier, I am what I am by the grace of God. Paul, referring to himself, defending his ministry to the church of Corinth, who even doubted his apostleship, said this, concerning all the other apostles. He said, I labored more abundantly than all the apostles, but it wasn't me. It was God's grace that he gave to me. Paul said, the reason that I served and labored and I came to Corinth and I preached the gospel and I was chased out of town, whatever, and I suffered all these things that I suffered, which he gets into the next section of our study, this sixth chapter, is by the grace of God. It wasn't me. I'm just a vessel that God's using. That's why God takes vessels like that. That's why God chooses nobodies like you and I. Because he wants all the glory and all the praise to go to him. We are his workmanship. Ephesians chapter 2, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. We are his workmanship. There's no greater work. God created the heavens and the earth and all the things that God made, but there's no greater work. There's no greater work of God than you. Do you understand what he's done? The enormity of it, the absolute distance between you and God when you were lost and now that you're saved. How he's reconciled you from the world, out of the world, and joined you with Christ. It's an amazing testimony of the grace of God. Look what God's done. It's exciting. The world's getting worse. You know, it's like it can get exciting. Yes. Is God's grace sufficient for a culture that's going downhill, a pagan culture becoming more and more antagonistic to Christianity? Absolutely. God's grace is sufficient for every need, for every situation. God is more than able to raise godly individuals in the midst of, the Bible says, where sin abounds, grace even more abounds. When there's a flood of evil, the Bible says when the enemy comes in like a flood, God will raise up a standard against it. What is that standard? It's the church. It's the believers filled with the grace of God. So we're not under the law, but we're under God's grace. Or another way to say that is this. Are you availing yourself of the grace of God? Paul ends up this passage in the latter part of chapter verse 2 by saying this. So he's saying in verse 2, he's quoting from Isaiah 49 verse 8. In the acceptable time I've heard you, in the day of salvation I've helped you. But then Paul takes that verse, which is referring to the moment of conversion. And here's what he says. Behold, now is accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. In other words, God saved you by grace. But the same grace that brought you into the kingdom is grace that's available now. Now, if you call upon the Lord, he will hear you. You think if he heard you before you were saved, and when you called upon him, he came to your aid and helped you and saved you, that now he won't hear you? The Bible says in Psalms, call upon the Lord in the day of trouble. He will answer you. In other words, nobody say that is this morning, did you pray, Lord, I need grace. I need help. I can't do this. I don't know what I'm doing. I don't understand this, or I don't understand that, or I can't do this, whatever. We ask God, we humble ourselves, Lord, help me. And Paul ends up this passage by saying, now, if God came and saved you, this passage in Isaiah, and Paul's saying every moment of every day, the grace of God is available to you. Do you understand that? Maybe you're going through a trial right now. Maybe you're going through a difficulty right now. Do you know that God's grace is available to you? Not just some trickle, but a flood of grace. If you'll humble yourself. I read that passage in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 5. God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. What had happened in Corinth? They had heard the gospel. They had humbled themselves. They realized they were sinners on the road to hell. They asked him to forgive their sins. They put their faith in Christ, but that was it. And now all of a sudden you look at these people and they're not humble at all. They're critical and judgmental and argumentative and fussy and carnal and worldly and babes. They're babies. It's like they're no longer soft. They're no longer trusting in God and relying upon the Lord and saying, Lord, I've got a problem with anger and I need help. I got a problem with pornography or lust, and I need help. I got a problem with forgiving somebody else, and I need the grace of God to help me because I can't do this. And all that grace is available if we'll just ask him. You see what he's saying? You see how he's talking to the church? Or another way to say that is this, don't we need the grace of God? Don't you need the grace of God? You can't make it without him. The odds are overwhelming. The tidal wave is absolutely enormous of evil and sin and carnality and worldliness and simple, the absence of God. And yet God is calling us in our culture to stand up and talk about Christ and to stand for Jesus. The only way to do that is by the grace of God. We can't do it ourselves. We need, Lord, help me. Empower me, fill me, keep me soft, keep me pliable. Let me grow and become a strong believer. Let me become a dynamic Christian. Let me be what I would call in the scriptures a man of God or a woman of God. Have you ever thought about, I'd like to have that title, a man of God, a woman of God? Someone so connected with him and in love with him and following him that people say, that's a man of God, that's a woman of God. That's a prayer warrior. That's a follower of Jesus. I would challenge you, God wants you to have that kind of a reputation in a way. So that at your job or your school or your neighborhood, people know, that's a man of God down there. That's a woman of God down there. I got trouble. I got difficulties. I want to go down there and talk to them about a situation that I'm facing that I'm just beside myself. I need help. And all of a sudden, they come to search you out and they ask for your prayer. Would you pray for me? Or what is this Jesus stuff, you know? What is all this about? And you can just, you know, you can just sit down there and tell him. You know, and tell him about Christ, what Christ has done for you. How he saved you from the enormity of your sin, the absolute devastation of the fact you sinned before a holy God. You deserve to go to hell. You were completely helpless and hopeless. And yet God stepped into the picture and transformed you into a new creation. Because you repented of your sin and you put your faith in Christ. And that grace that God used to do that is the grace that's available. And Paul is saying, look, here's a verse in Isaiah 48, verse 9. You know, but today's the day of salvation, Corinthians. Now is the accepted time. Call upon the Lord. Ask for his help. You guys are carnal. You guys aren't growing. Ask him to help you to grow. Now be ready. Because God will help you grow. And sometimes it will be a challenge. But it depends on what you want. In other words, for Paul, let me just sum up by and close with this. Paul is basically saying to the Corinthian church, I'm in synchronization with God. What I'm saying to you is what God is saying through me. Me and God are speaking together. And we're pleading with you in the name of Jesus. Don't receive the grace of God in vain. What is he saying there? I'm in harmony with God, but you're not. God has a goal when he saved you, and that was to make you like Jesus. But your goal is not. Your goal is just to hang out, fuss and argue and be carnal and worldly and immature the rest of your Christian life until the Lord comes back and get you out of this mess. That's not God's goal. You see? So I sort of asked myself as I prayed about this passage, I meditated on it, I'm thinking, Lord, what are you saying here? And I think, Lord, am I in harmony with you? Is what I'm saying what you want me to say? Am I doing what you want me to do? I'm a disciple. I'm a follower of Jesus. I just want to do what he wants me to do. Period. And I hope that you do too. And God gives as much grace as you need to do that, to follow Christ. No matter how difficult, no matter how big it is, why? It's not you that's going to do it, it's God. God does it all anyway. Let's pray. Father, this evening, or morning rather, I just want to pray for all of us here that we would not receive the grace of God in vain. And I think there's so many believers that are carnal and worldly and not growing, and they're not in the Word, and the Word's not in them, and they're not in prayer, they're not in church, they're not connected, they're not serving, they're not ministry, they're just sort of existing. And I pray for the challenge that this passage is giving to me, to all of us, not to receive the grace of God in vain. The grace of God was designed by God not only to save me, but to make me like Christ. And so as Paul said in Philippians, I pursue that for which I'm also pursued of God. I'm pursuing the same goal that God's pursuing me for. God's pursuing me to make me like Christ. That's what I'm pursuing. And I want to pray this morning as we close our study that you would just help every mom, every dad, every parent, every individual, every single person, every young and old person, that all of us would say, Lord, I just want to make sure that I'm in tune and in line with what you want in my life. And I'm not a clone. What you want from me may be different than somebody else. I'm not here to judge other people. All I want to do is to follow Christ and become a grown-up, mature believer, more and more like Jesus. I thank you for that statement in the Bible that say he who began a good work in us is going to complete it. You're going to complete it. unfortunately, there are believers who are carnal until the Lord comes, and all of a sudden when they're changed, then all of a sudden God completes their work. But you want to work in us today. You want to help us to grow as Christians. You want us to help us to further along that work. So I want to pray. How do we do that? By letting the word, by praying, by asking God to help us, by humbling ourselves and say, Father, your goal in my life is to make me like Christ. You want to mature me and grow me so that I'm not just a baby Christian. I'm not just a Christian, but I'm a mature believer that I know the word and the words, I'm familiar with it and I know your heart. And not that we ever reach a point of we're finished. We're never going to be completely finished until you come. But as Paul says, I press on towards the mark for the prize of the God, the high calling of God in Christ. That high calling is God's call me to be like his son. And that's what I'm pursuing, Paul said. Not as though I'd already attained. I'm not finished yet. God's working in me and on me. And I just pray that we would say the same thing. So may you be glorified this morning. May we respond to that invitation in a way that Paul's making to the church of Corinth. Now's the day of salvation. Now's the accepted time. Not tomorrow, next week. Don't do this next year. Now, right now. As a believer, ask God to help you, and he will. In Jesus' name. Amen.